RCR with Paul Brennan.
Time to welcome back Lindsay Perigo for his perspective at RCR. Lindsay, it's great to have you. I'm wondering if we're turning into a bit of an award show. We've got the Laughing Award. Everyone knows that. We've got the Freedom Award. Now we have the Go Bells Award. I quite like that one. And I think that one is going to be wheeled out on many occasions. I'm picking going forward.
I shall be kicking off with it this morning, retroactively. Do you know what that tune is?
Well, I know we used to sing it at school and with the lyrics that we had in the last perspective, but and it's not the theme from Dad's Army, though that's similar. No, tell me exactly what the tune is, where it comes from. Really interested to know, actually.
Well, it's the Colonel Bogey March, and that's one of John Philip Sousa's, I think. And that those words were set to it during World War II as a propaganda exercise designed to demoralize the Nazis and make fun of them. I don't know if Hitler literally just had one ball or how true the other claims are.
Was it accurate?
Who cared about that? It's the narrative that counts, as we know, Paul.
Two and similar, I like. There was Himmler, wasn't it?
Yeah, similar and Himmler. It was great. So it'll be front and center today again. Just give me the word and I shall launch into it.
Let's go, Lindsay.
Thank you. The floor is mine, is it? Last week, I inaugurated that new award, the Goebbels Award, to be bestowed upon the egregiously cowardly.
Hitler has only got
I awarded the Goebbels Award to our coalition government. I said in part, quoting now, look at how it won't attack spending the way Doge does. Look at the fact that we have a high maintenance ministry of deregulation that hasn't deregulated anything, as best I can tell. Look at how the coalition has abandoned the prioritizing of English over Maori, and Health New Zealand communications are still headed up Te Whati Orifice. Look at how it capitulates when savages do a war dance on the floor of Parliament, but becomes apoplectic over a Land Rover on the steps of Parliament. Look at how, instead of doging the Law Commission, it asks these wokesters to devise hate crime legislation just when you thought we were done with that crap, as America now is. Look at how it still touts the unutterable nonsense that is net zero. Look at how it is a shill for Hamas, shunning Israel and threatening to arrest Bibi should he ever visit here. Listen to these weasel words from Seymour, who knows better, when asked if New Zealand should follow America out of the disgusting World Health Organization, etc., etc. The imperative for the coalition this year, I opined lovingly, was to grow a pair. Imagine then how edified and gratified I was to learn of an opinion piece in, of all places, that woke fascist rag, the New Zealand Feral, which perhaps is starting to read the room or the world, headed Time to Light a Fire Under This Government's Slow Burn. It's an article by professional director Bruce Cotterill, whom I don't know, but on the strength of this article, greatly esteem. Let me quote part of it. As we said farewell to what was arguably the worst government in our history, he means Jacinda Jackboots, of course, a sense of hope emerged, despite the woeful state of an economy riddled with debt and a society overladen with crime. We believed that we would scramble from our COVID-enforced hibernation and begin a recovery. With that hope came anticipation, the policies of the recent past which led to the degradation of our health system, the silliness of what was being taught in our schools, the race-based policies of Three Waters and co-governance, racist recruitment policies, kowtowing to climate alarmism and the World Economic Forum agenda would soon be things of the past. The new government that brought hope and promise is now incumbent. In 15 months, their highlights have been few. Sadly, much of the silliness remains. Unquote. Bruce Cottrell goes on to urge the coalition to follow Trump and Argentina's Milei out of the Paris Climate Accord, out of the World Health Organization, and I would add, out of the United Nations itself, and to emulate those two titans in slashing waste and fraud and gutting the bureaucracy and its woke silliness. Quote, we can't afford to spend $4 million playing sperm whale noises in forests to combat Kauri dieback. We can't afford for the Department of Internal Affairs to spend almost $1 million teaching indigenous knowledge to become change agents, unquote. Now, I wouldn't hold my breath for relief from this silliness anytime soon from a government that has just passed legislation declaring that Mount Taranaki is a person and that the treaty is a partnership. ACT and a New Zealand First voted for this? What about the Treaty Principles Bill? Is that just a sideshow designed to camouflage the uni-party nature of this coalition? I shall repair to calling Mount Taranaki Mount Egmont henceforth. I suppose that'll be called hate speech. Bruce Cottrell is telling the coalition more politely than I to grow a pair. Unlikely that they will, although I may have just the thing just in case they do want to and will seek the help they need. I found this on X, created by American Patriot Man of Memes.
Have you been crying like a bitch over Elon Musk? Do you find yourself sobbing at the thought of your taxpayer-funded transgender basket weaving club losing its funding? You may be suffering from a common condition known as libtardism-induced meltdown. But don't worry, there's help. Introducing GrowAPair, the revolutionary prescription solution designed to help you accept reality. With just one dose a day, you'll start to understand that tax dollars aren't meant for gender numeral electric vehicle startups in Vietnam. After taking GrowAPair, you may notice life-changing improvements, such as smaller man boobs, the ability to fund your own transgender basket weaving without relying on Uncle Sam, and a newfound indifference to the defunding of the U.S. Department of Slope Sidewalk Studies. GrowAPair won't solve all your problems, but it can help you stop fixating on who's going to pay for DEI pudding packs in Cambodia.
Side effects may include dry mouth, increased common sense, employment, smaller man boobs, and lower taxes.
Ask your doctor if GrowAPair is right for you, because adulting is hard, but it doesn't have to be.
You're welcome, Coalition. And lo, just as I was writing this, the following arrived in my inbox. Minister of Finance and Economic Growth Nicola Willis has today celebrated a 63% decrease in the amount spent annually on Big Four consultants by the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. The multi-million dollar gravy train has left the station, hopefully never to return, said Sam Warren, a spokesman for the Taxpayers Union. Well, bravo. Has the coalition perhaps started taking GrowAPair already? Well, don't stop with the consultants. Abolish the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment altogether. Bruce Cottrell talks of the need to import quality migrants, including nurses, doctors and specialists. Here's one kind of immigrant we don't need any more than Australia does.
Are you a nurse, a doctor?
I'm a doctor, my man.
A doctor? What for what?
In hospital. What about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Israel, from the Holy Land.
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with you.
All right.
I'm going to be really honest with you. You actually got a really, really beautiful eyes.
Thank you,
but
man.
I'm so upset that you're Israeli. Like, eventually you're going to get killed and you're going to go to Jahannam, inshallah.
But
these pretty eyes, they should stay in this world for longer.
Why do you think I'm gonna get killed?
It's Palestine's country, not
Hello,
your country, you piece
how
of
are you?
Shit.
What's your name?
One day, your time will come and you will die the most... when your time comes,
how are you doctors?
Wait. I want you to remember my face.
Okay,
so
okay.
Gotcha. That you will
I have
die
a question though.
Disgusting death.
All right, for sure. I have a question though.
Yeah, what's
it? I have a question. Let's say an Israeli. God forbid.
I won't treat them. I'll kill them.
You'll kill them? So if an Israeli is in Australia and God forbid something happened to him and he comes to your hospital, would you kill him?
Okay, you have no idea how many Israeli Haradok came to this hospital and I sent him to Jahannam.
For real?
I literally sent him to Jahannam.
You have no idea how many Israeli dogs came to this hospital and I sent them to Jahannam, hell. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that correctly. I submit there is no place in Sydney, Australia, or here, or any civilized country for trash like that. Those monsters masquerading as nurses have been deregistered. A coalition of prominent Muslim groups and leaders, including Muslim Votes and Muslim Votes Matter, not to mention the Australian Federation of Islamic Councils and the Islamic Councils of Victoria and Western Australia, have dismissed condemnation of the monsters as selective outrage. In a week where Hamas has deigned to release 3 dead hostages, I know at whom my outrage is directed and why. Just before Vice President J.D. Vance delivered his blockbuster speech at the Security Summit in Munich, an Afghan asylum seeker rammed a car into a trade union rally in that city, killing a mother and daughter. JD's speech was a timely rebuke to Europe for allowing indiscriminate mass migration and for its betrayal of Western values generally, most notably the value of free speech.
When I look at Europe today, it's sometimes not so clear what happened to some of the Cold War's winners. I look to Brussels, where EU commissars warn citizens that they intend to shut down social media during times of civil unrest the moment they spot what they've judged to be, quote, hateful content. Or to this very country, where police have carried out raids against citizens suspected of posting anti-feminist comments online as part of, quote, combating misogyny on the internet, a day of action. I look to Sweden, where 2 weeks ago the government convicted a Christian activist for participating in Quran burnings that resulted in his friend's murder. And as the judge in his case chillingly noted, Sweden's laws to supposedly protect free expression do not, in fact, grant, and I'm quoting, a free pass to do or say anything without risking offending the group that holds that belief. And perhaps most concerningly, I look to our very dear friends, the United Kingdom, where the backslide away from conscience rights has placed the basic liberties of religious Britons in particular in the crosshairs. A little over 2 years ago, the British government charged Adam Smith Connor, a 51-year-old physiotherapist and an army veteran, with the heinous crime of standing 50 meters from an abortion clinic and silently praying for 3 minutes. Not obstructing anyone, not interacting with anyone, just silently praying on his own. And after British law enforcement spotted him and demanded to know what he was praying for, Adam replied simply it was on behalf of the unborn son he and his former girlfriend had aborted years before. Now, the officers were not moved. Adam was found guilty of breaking the government's new buffer zones law, which criminalizes silent prayer and other actions that could influence a person's decision within 200 meters of an abortion facility. He was sentenced to pay thousands of pounds in legal costs to the prosecution. Now, I wish I could say that this was a fluke, a one-off crazy example of a badly written law being enacted against a single person, but no. This last October, just a few months ago, the Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law. Naturally, the government urged readers to report any fellow citizens suspected guilty of thought crime, In Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat. And in the interest of comedy, my friends, but also in the interest of truth, I will admit that sometimes the loudest voices for censorship have come not from within Europe, but from within my own country, where the prior administration threatened and bullied social media companies to censor so-called misinformation. Misinformation like, for example, the idea that coronavirus had likely leaked from a laboratory in China. Our own government encouraged private companies to silence people who dared to utter what turned out to be an obvious truth.
Britannistan is perhaps the worst instance of backsliding on Western values in Europistan, but there is hope everywhere. In Britannistan, reform is now in first place in polling ahead of Labour and the Conservatives. The one worry there is that Nigel Farage has turned out to be a snake, saying mass deportation of illegals is not doable, and bad-mouthing Tommy Robinson, who's rotting in solitary confinement. Elon Musk has opined that Farage is not up to the task of saving Britain and is supposedly funding Tommy's legal team. But thus far, they don't seem to be up to the task of saving Tommy. Will Farage grow his pair back? Stay tuned. Right now, to Bruce Cotterill for his stellar injunction to the coalition to grow a pair, and to J.D. Vance for his magnificent, courageous rallying cry to Europe on behalf of liberty and civilization, this week's Freedom Award. But wait, there's more from the three tenors to the one tenor. A splendid new double CD of Mario has just been released by Sepia Records, available from Amazon.com. It's called Night and Day, Mario Lanza, and is quite simply 2.5 hours of rapture, worthy of Shelley's Ode to a Skylark. Teach us, sprite or bird, what sweet thoughts are thine. I have never heard praise of love or wine that panted forth a flood of rapture so divine. Teach me half the gladness that thy brain must know, such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. The world should listen then, as I am listening now.
Love, I give you my heart. If you will take this gift I bring you, tell me tonight. Love, if I must depart, if you hush the song I sing you, tell me tonight. So speak or never again. My love refrain will greet you neath the moon's dreamy. Depart, hush the song I sing you. Tell me tonight, thus speak, or never again. My love, refrain.